Well, I believe prayer changes things. I know it's one of those mottos that we have heard over the years, but it does. Prayer can change situations. Circumstances, those that will pray and seek the face of God, God will move in every situation. Have your Bibles this morning. We'd like to turn to Luke chapter 15. Again, a very familiar portion of Scripture, but felt like here's where we needed to be today, and we're glad that you're here. And most of all, we're glad the Lord's here to meet with us, and looking forward to just, whatever He has in store. Praise God. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start reading about the 11th verse of Scripture again. And just something that really, really began to trouble me and thinking of praying about the service. And we appreciated all those that were with us. Appreciated Brother Slayton and them being with us. Appreciated Brother Dominic being with us. And I know it's kind of a busy time right now, especially convention time. And you have these that are in, and you just hate to say no, hate to turn them away, and because you know that they need our help. And so we just appreciate Brother Sosa and them being with us. Thank you, everyone, for giving as you did for each one, and blessing them as you did. Luke chapter 15 this morning, very, very familiar, but let's read it together again. Luke chapter 15, starting to read at verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods which falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son, which was dead, is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Praise God. I'm just going to stop there. Go on. You could read about the elder son. And but I'd like to take a little while this morning to talk about this trip to the far country. And this trip to the far country. And, you know, I looked upon this, and the Lord began to deal with me. As a matter of fact, He woke me up early one morning, and I began to think upon these passages of Scripture, and I began to jot down a few little things. And then this morning, I got up again ready and taking our prayer time, and then afterward came back into the living room and began to read again and rehearse it again and just look across it again. And I all I could come to again was a trip to the far country, a trip, your trip to the far country. Amen. And when I read this again, it's so familiar to us all. But I just begin to look upon this younger son as he comes to his father, and he said, "Father, give me the portion that belongs to me." I don't know how much before this he had already planned what was going to take place. Amen. I jotted down a few little things like this, you know, talking about the trip. You know, we all like to take trips. I do. You know, we all like to. But there's always somewhere among that trip, especially unless you're moving or something along this, but that return, that coming back, you know, when you plan this trip, a planned trip where that you make sure that you've got sufficient that'll carry you. I mean, you make sure that you've got enough to where that you get where you are or where you're going, and then that returning back to where that you'll know that you're able. I don't know what all went through his mind. I don't know what all he sat down and wrote down and began to think about. I don't know, but I know this. He just didn't wake up this morning, amen, and make it up in his mind and said, "I'm going to leave home." Amen. Before this, he had already thought in his mind. He had already made, you know, the decision. Just as soon as I can, I'm going to hit Dad up and I'm going to take a trip. I'm going to leave this. Whether he was just totally disgusted with the lifestyle and the way they were living. Oh, listen to me now. Amen. You better be careful, folks. Amen. When a person moves on impulse, when a person moves because, well, I'm just tired of living like this. I'm just tired of going this way. I'm just tired of hanging around like, oh, glory to God, I feel like preaching to us. I feel like preaching to us. I don't know what all went in his mind, but all I know is this. He had a trip plan. Can you say amen? I don't know what all was thought of, but I'm sure he had probably pretty much tallied up. You know, when I think of taking a trip, again, you always want to make sure you got enough to buy gas, and to have food to eat, and to help you, you know, if you're going any distance whatsoever, to where you'll have sufficient enough to have a place to stay. So you begin to tally all this stuff together. And even sometimes before, you may even call ahead to find out what the latest rates and everything are. And you begin to tally all that together and all that coming together to where that you begin to make plans and you begin to, you know, carry provision and to carry what you feel like that it's going to take. But let me ask you something this morning. How many's ever took a trip and it just didn't go that easy? Amen. All of a sudden there was some changes made that were unexpected. All of a sudden there were some things that arose that were unexpected. There were things that began to happen. I mean, the car breaks down. I mean, you know, you thought, you know, sometimes, you know, various little things, you spent a little bit more than you should have spent. You got something a little more to eat than you should have. But all of this begin to take. So, you know, again, there's times that all things don't always go and it don't always happen the way that you think that it ought to. It don't happen the way that you planned on it. Again, whether it was a breakdown, whether it was something that cost you a little bit more than you had anticipated. Oh, come on here now. What are you saying? I'm telling you, brother, this younger son may have had plans, but he wasn't planning on what was coming his way. Amen. This younger son had already, you know, figured it out, tallied it up, and said, I'm going to go. Give me the portion that belongs to me. I'll take care of myself. I know where I'm going. I know that everything will come on here. But brother, all of a sudden, he began to be wasteful. He began to throw it here. He began to throw it there. And it cost him in the long run. Can you say amen? So not all are the same this morning. Amen. We can make plans. And again, I want to put us all in the category of where I need us to be this morning. We're going to take a trip, but our plans are we're going to return. We're going to get back. Our plans are we're going to take this trip, but we're going to get back. And, you know, we're got it pretty much itemized down. We pretty much got it all figured out how far that we can go. Come on here now. But it's always in the back of our mind. We're going to come back. We're going to return. One day we're going to come back. We're going to take this journey into this far country. How far is far? Amen. Well, just as far ought to be, I guess. Amen. How far did he go before it was considered that he was in a far country? How far was it that he had went before he recognized, I'm a long ways from home. I'm a long ways from where that I used to be. Amen. But he's in this far country And whether he begins to enjoy and like just kind of, you know, goes to, amen, the process. And he just, he's just laying money down. I mean, he's just throwing his goods down. He's going by the pawn shops and he's a pawning off. I'm just using a little bit of our terms here now because you don't know how drastic some folks get, amen, to get into a far country. You don't know how far, amen, some people will go, amen, what extremes they go to, amen, before they get back or get out into that far, far country. And so he's a wasting away. I mean, brother, we've heard him say it, man. Can you not imagine the nights that were spent, the endless nights that he had? I mean, he started early in the morning, the sun was rising again, and he was still, amen, partying it up. Amen. How far and how extreme did this young man go? All I know is this. The Bible said that he wasted all of his goods in riotous living. He wasted everything that he possessed, everything that his dad had given him. Oh, come on here, church. I just wonder sometimes. This is supposed to be, amen, the likening to where that God says to the backslider, you can come home, amen, and receive them. Oh, glory to God. But my God, I wonder how extreme we get sometimes of wasting the things that God has given to us. Can you say amen? Oh, I got to take my time. Hallelujah. How extreme do you and I get as God has blessed us, given unto us, and so graciously, bountifully poured upon us, and then all of a sudden we begin to plan that trip. That trip into the far country. country. Like I said, I don't know. I'm just using my imagination for just a little bit. But there he wasted all his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent everything, when there was nothing left, when there was nothing else to pull out of the pocket, when there was nothing else to be pawned off, to where that he could get something for nothing, if you would. Come on here. I mean, it just got to the place that he finally joins himself, amen, joined himself with a citizen of the country which sent him out, oh glory to God, amen, to feed the swine. Listen to me this morning. I know it's going 1,000 miles an hour, but my God, I can see this young man as he takes his journey. I can see this young man as all is gathered together. Everything he owns is on his back. Amen. It is on his horses, whatever, his camels, whatever. Amen. And he's taking his journey and he's going out. Oh, I don't know, but I've got to believe somewhere. I don't believe just necessarily all entirely and listen, but I believe he had a good mom and daddy. I believe he had a good family life. I believe he had a good home life. My God, why don't we wake up and smell the coffee, amen, when we're there, where God, amen, has blessed us continually and continually, oh, glory to God, and forget about taking a trip, can you say, amen? Oh, yes. I believe he's got a pretty good life. Apparently, his dad wasn't all that bad for his dad to say, "You're breaking my heart, but here it is." He no doubt had a mother somewhere among the shadows that said, "Please, come back home just as soon as you can." I mean, you know, if it was some, the reason I'm saying this, some dads, if he was all that harsh and all that wrong and all that, I don't believe he'd have just so handed it over so easily. But there was something inside of him that let this young boy know, and as he gives him his portion of goods, and as he begins to take his journey, as he begins to leave outside of the boundaries of the home life. I don't know how far mom and daddy went. But again, just using my imagination now, if you think I'm wrong, then please forgive me this time. But maybe they walked him to the very porch. Maybe they walked him to the very gate. Maybe they walked him to the very boundaries of their property. Amen. All the way, no doubt, maybe talking to him. Maybe trying to persuade him and trying to make him understand. We understand that you're growing up. We understand that maybe there's something inside of you. There's a craving. But down deep inside, they just knew that something, no doubt, could have been wrong. And so they follow him, and they're talking to him. They're counseling him. And just like my daddy did, Brother Jerry, amen, my daddy always, when that first car I ever bought was a little Mercury Comet, little three-speed on the column, I'll never forget it. Bob Buick there in Harrisonburg. That's where it was sitting on the showroom floor. A little 60 Mercury Comet. Three speed on the tree, we called it. Six cylinder, four door. But man, I thought I was king of the crops. I think at that time we paid $275, but I'll never forget the day we pushed it off. We pushed it out of the double doors. Why? If you used to see it, you'd think it's the ugliest thing in the world, but I liked it at that time. Praise God, but we pushed that, and I felt so good. But my daddy, when we went to the bank and arranged, I was going to make payments, $207, I didn't have it. Daddy probably had it, but he was trying to teach me something. $275, what it was, very, very cheap. We went in, signed all the paperwork. I'll never forget walking out of the bank with the money in the hand, heading back down to the Buick place. And they had it on the outside all cleaned up. Daddy talked to me the whole way down the road. He said, I want you to understand something. He said, my name is under your name. He said, you couldn't have borrowed this money without me. You couldn't have this money without me. Oh, come on now. I'm just wondering what this dad, this father told his son as they walked out of the gate. And he said, son, I'll give you the portion that belongs, but I want you to understand. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Come on here, church. Are you catching just a little bit of it? Because I want to tell you something. Amen. We're highly blessed of God. God has done so much for us. We are not our own, and we ought to thank God every day. Can you say amen? And Daddy would counsel me. At that time, I was working in the orchard, 10 cent a bushel, picking up drops. Amen. We'd follow the pickers, and we'd pick all the drops up and put them in the bushel baskets, and then go and dump them into the grater crates that they had there. 10 cents a bushel, and they'd count every one of them. Daddy told me, he said, son, at that time, he said, you know, I want you to understand. He said, I've signed my name underneath of your name. He said, and you will make the payments. Hallelujah. Amen. It wasn't long, brother. That little six cylinder, you know, just like anybody else, you know. I just wanted to see if it burned tires. You did all kind of stupid stuff. And boy, when I went from that little Mercury Comet into a V8, then I really got to finding out what it meant to have a little power. But my daddy would take me aside. He said, son, I just want you to know something. He said, I ain't putting a cent on it. Every one you burn off is the one you'll replace. Every cent that you turn, come on here now. Oh, come on here. Don't look at me strange. But brother, he was taking his journey. He was heading down the road. I just wonder what mom and daddy was telling him. I just wonder what they were talking to him about. Amen. As he was making his way to the far country. Can you say amen? At that time I didn't even have when I bought the little Comet, just a couple of months or so, I'd be able to have my regular license. I just had my learners at that time. But if you'd ever drove by the road cap house, at that time you'd have seen me pull to the end of the lane and then turn around and pull back to the other way. And that's all the further I drove. Amen, that's all I had. And if anybody's ever been to Mama's house, you know it's a very, very short trip. But I thought I was going somewhere. I thought I was headed somewhere. But I'd get out there and I'd wash that thing out. I'll never forget. The seat covers had those plastic covers over the original material. never been set on. I mean, just brand new. I was tickled to death. And I don't remember that time, maybe 50, 60,000 miles on whatever. But Daddy began to counsel me and began to talk to me and began to tell me things. The importance of taking care. And I know sometimes I may get a little extreme. I don't know. It's just things that I've been taught, I guess. And it just, you know. But anyway, I just wonder what this dad was telling his son. Son, you're breaking our hearts. But if this is the way it's going to be, this is your portion. It belongs to you. But I just want you to remember. And I just want to talk to you. Be very careful on how you spend it. Be very cautious on who you hang around. Be very careful. You're going to find out you're going to have many friends now because you got something in your pocket. You got goods that you can get rid of, pawn off, amen, sell, whatever. And I just want you to understand, son, you're taking a trip. But don't forget the way back home. Don't forget on how you can get back to where mom and daddy are. And I mean, you know, just right on down. Let your mind run for a little bit. And listen to their conversation. Like I said, whether it was to the end of the porch, whether it was to the gate that led outside the yard, whether it was to the very boundaries of the property. I don't know how far. Amen. But all was packed up. All was taken by that younger son as he began to take his trip, as he began to journey into the far country. But listen to me. He had already made plans. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. There were things, rules that he stepped over. There were things that he were taught and brought up in that he said, I'm on my own now. Oh, let me tell you something. I've got a lot to say about that. When a person gets so, amen, in their mind, and their mindset is, it's me, and ain't nobody else's. And I was broken, I was crying, because I'd never seen him act like that before. But you see, no doubt the father seen something in this son as he began to make his journey, as he began to walk across the property, as he began to walk across the portion that one time had belonged to his son, but now it belongs to the elder brother, because the father had already figured it up and calculated, and this is probably about what it's worth and what it's going to be worth, so I'll just give him, and I'll come on here now. Kind of hard to take property with you when you go. Kind of hard to move a house, man. I told Sister Linda, I was up in Pennsylvania yesterday, and we was working up there, and Brother Lewis was riding with me on Friday, riding with me, and he looked over. He said, I want to show you something, Brother Road Camp. And I said, all right. As we were driving down toward the campground there, he said, now look over to your right. I mean, just an enormous side, beautiful size barn there. He said, now look behind, and on behind there, on a little knoll there, across that property there, there's a beautiful house, and he said, 29 acres there, 29 acres, house and all the fixings, all the trimmings here. And I looked at him, I said, man, that's beautiful, that's beautiful. He said, 120,000, you can own it. I looked at him and I said, my God, what a deal, what a price. I mean, you know, come on here now. Amen. No, it is just late. But here this dad no doubt sees something in his son. He sees the wandering. He sees that far away look. Come on now. Don't tell me preachers don't know what they're talking about. Amen. We can always tell when there's a far, far away look about somebody. You may argue with us. You may even tell me, as I sat there in that home just a night or so before, and here we go,
I'm not trying to impress nobody. But I had a dream that night, and in that dream I seen this young lady of our church. And I seen her being attacked, amen, by a wolf. And I seen her clothes ripped from her. And it troubled me when I woke up and I thought to myself, what in the world is this, you know. And I found out just a few days later when this daughter's mother and dad called me and said, Brother Bobby, and they were all upset. And I mean, just terrible. We went to the home, and when we went into the home, and here sat this young girl, her mom and dad, and this young man, this boy sitting over there, and he's pretty good size. When I walked in, I knew the interpretation of that dream. When I walked in, and all of a sudden, everything got real solemn. And this mother and dad begins to break down, and they're crying. And they're saying to us, saying to me, and maybe Sister Linda's with me, I think she was. But anyway, begin to tell that her daughter's going to run off with this boy. And they're going to get married. Now listen to me. I'm not here to settle no agenda for nobody except the will of God. But listen. And I looked across and I said to the young man, I said, is there anything else you would like to tell this mother and dad? And he gets real angry. What are you trying to say? And I looked over to this young lady and she's sitting there and I said, is there anything else you would like to enlighten your mom and daddy in on? I knew he had raped her. God showed me that. And she's now carrying his child. I said, is there anything? She wouldn't say anything. So I backed up and I said, time is going to tell this mom and daddy what's all about. I said, I already know. And boy, he shot up. Got in my face and said, what are you trying to say? I said, I'm talking about your secret. I'm talking about what you've done. I'm talking about how, come on here, church, taking that trip to that far country. Amen. But anyway, so never said anything, and I never did. I never said nothing to that mother and dad. I didn't feel like it was my place at that time. Amen. And all of a sudden, then they go out. As a matter of fact, I think they'd already run off, got married, and they'd come back. And mom and dad didn't know. He'd done it during the day, and then they're back. And so anyway, I'm ready to leave, and I'm walking out. And that mother and dad's looking at me and said, Brother Bobby, is there something? I said, well, yeah. I said, but just let time be the greatest of speaker. I said, because you're going to learn that it was more to this than just running off and getting married. Sure enough, just a few little days, months down the road, they find out she's pregnant, she's carrying this child. And that mother and dad come to me and said, Brother Bobby, did you know that? I said, yes, ma'am, I did. I said, I knew it was too late then. They'd already got married and they were there. I said, but I'm just telling you, that boy raped her. He took from her her prize. Come on here. Amen. And I said, now. And it's been a rocky, it was a rocky road there for the longest of time. Rocky situation. Finally, now they're split up. He's gone one way, she's gone the other. She's done remarried, he's done remarried. What a life. What a horrible life. That trip to the far country. What are you saying, preacher? I just, you know, I felt like as God began to speak to me here, this young man,
as he begins to take a lot of things not planned. A lot of things that begin to arise. You've got to admit, this young man didn't ever want to wake up. Amen, feeding a swine. You've got to admit that this young man had no intentions on maybe even working again. He was just going to have the time of his life. The bright lights, the fling of the days. Everything. Just going his way, and then all of a sudden, amen, whether it's gambling, whether it's all the sinful acts, the sinful deeds that he got into, amen, the sinful life that he had lived, whatever, but he began to waste away. Everything that he had and possessed was now begin to trickle away. Amen, maybe there were times that it flowed, and all of a sudden he try to stop it. Amen. But trying to stop it, it was just a crash course. There was no way. There was no brakes. Amen. So he went on and on until it's all gone now. Thank God. Listen to me now. Maybe just one more day. Just one more time. Maybe just one more fling. Maybe just one more deal. I don't know what went through his mind, but I know this, brother. Amen. After a while, he was left empty-handed. He was left with nothing. Oh, glory to God. What a sad, sad sheep. What a sad. One more drink, preacher. Just one more drink. That's all I want. Just one more night out. That's all I want. Just one more trip to the far country. Can you say amen? Like I said, all of us here, we're all going to come back. Our plans, we're all going to come back. Maybe back in his mind, maybe years down the road, maybe he never ruled it out completely. Maybe he said, yeah, I'll try to come back sometime. I'll come back one day. But I've got a trip. I'm planning a trip. I've got it all sorted out. I've got it all figured out. I just feel like that maybe, come on here, maybe the standards and maybe the requirements there in the home, maybe they were some of the things that sent him on this journey. But I still believe if he would have been in his right mind, he'd have realized he was in the right place. He had the right family. He had a good mom and daddy. He had a good life. Amen. He had a good way of living, praise God. But all of this trip that he plans, a planned trip, he figures it out. Amen. He calculates it up. He can just about tell what dad's going to lay in his hands. He can just about tell. Amen. All that he's got that rightfully belongs to him. Oh, come on here, church. How much should I get in here? Maybe I need to go pretty deep. I don't know. I want to tell you something, brother. Amen. When God's blessed you for a reason, he didn't bless you to take a trip to the far country. Amen. When God's given to you time after time after time again, he didn't give to you to go out and waste it in the world. Can you say amen? As much as an aggravation they might sometime be, he didn't give you them children to drag them out of the church into the world and begin to introduce them to the pleasures of the world. Are you listening to me? Amen. He didn't give you that good job. Amen. Making good money.
for you to take that good money and go out and begin to waste it away and throw it away in the night dives of this world and upon the pleasures of this world. Amen. The sinful acts of this world. Come on here now. Amen. Come on here now. Amen. We can have a good time. We can be blessed of God. Amen. We can have times of our life. Thank God that we can, oh, glory to God, reach out maybe a little. But I want to tell you something. He didn't give it to you to take it to the far country. Can you say amen? All the wise counseling and the preaching that you've heard, God didn't give it to you to pack it away in a suitcase and say, I'll listen to it some other time. You're hearing me. I don't know fully, but I tell you, this morning, I felt such a burden, and I felt such an urgency. Amen. And that's the reason I got up, and I'd already been working on it. But I felt such an urgency this morning. Thank God when I get up and begin to pray. And I try my best to call out every name. I try my best to think about everybody in the church and whatever. Like I said, I got up the other morning, Brother Bobby was just so heavy, amen, upon my mind. And I prayed for him. I didn't call him. I didn't talk to him, but I just felt like it. And so anyway, and we talked that night. He said, yeah, I sure needed that. But anyway, amen, in all this good spirit, and all this good feeling that you've had, here in the church and what God has blessed you and give to you. He didn't give it to you to waste it away in a far country somewhere. Come on now. What are you trying to say? I'm just trying to tell you this morning. Amen. That there ought to be something inside of you that desires greatly of those things. But this young man has it all. He's throwing it away. He's taking the time. He's throwing it down. He's trying to impress others. He's throwing it down. He's trying to, amen, to cause others to, and he's just throwing it down. And the whole time, it's like water. It's dripping out of the faucet and it's going down the drain. Like I said, there might even been times that it was running. I put a commode up there at the fellowship, the girls' dorms up there yesterday, and it was one of our old ones up there that we had taken out. But anyway, after I got it all hooked up, I realized I had some problems. I realized there were some things that I needed to fix because water just kept running. Kind of like this up here. Amen. But the water just kept running. So anyway, I finally cut it off and I looked over it. Brother Johnny, I said, I've got to go to the hardware. I said, I can't leave this like this. I said, it just, to look at it, everything looked okay. Until you opened up the tank and, amen, the old flapper in it. I mean, you know, there should be a lot, and it's rolled up all, water just continually running. The valve was stuck on it where water had been gone through it, and it was stuck. And so anyway, just to continue. So anyway, he said, well, hey, let's go over here. And we went over here and got to checking around and found, I had to makeshift one of them, but it's working. That's the main thing. Amen. It's a working. And it wasn't wasting no water. But there were days that young man, it might have trickled away. But there was days that it probably flowed away from him. He lost more than he could gain. He threw away more, in that daytime than he had allotted. Oh, come on here, church. I'm telling you, there's a trip that he took and it was into a far country. Can you see? Amen. I'd like to talk about your trip this morning. That one you're planning. That one that keeps rising up. Come on here. In your mind. That you're not praying about. If it really comes down to it, your mind's already set. You're just waiting for the time. I know Brother Darren and him's wound. I'm not preaching this. But listen to me. It don't have to be anything, but maybe it's a trip across town into that area that you used to run in. That you've already been there before, and you know what happens. You've wasted time there. You wasted money there. You wasted effort there. It might be a trip down the road. It may be nothing more than a trip from one job to another. Come on here. How explicit do I need to be this morning? No, I have no idea, except I know what God spoke to me. And I'm just telling you, you may take your trip. You may already have it all established. As the old saying is, you might even have it written in stone. But are you paying attention? Are you thinking about what could happen on this journey, this trip to the far country? Amen. Listen to me. A planned trip, but it's not always the same. Sometimes you'll say, Bobby, just one more day. That's all I need. Just one more fling. That's all I want. Just one more deal. That's all I'm asking for. Just one more time. That's all I desire. And I begin to think about my family. And I told some here, told her, just one more drink, and then you've lost everything. One more trip. Just one more trip down to the bar. Just one more trip down to the night dive. One more trip to that area, and you lost everything. You never anticipated. I still got to believe that this young man had no plans of losing everything he had. I must believe that this young man had all intentions. If anything, he was going to do better. But it only got worse. You lose everything. Praise God, I told you about my brother. And now he's taking the same trip. Amen, same trip. Her years ago. Ask us to buy our house or to take over the payments. It's when we first started into the ministry. I felt like it was an answer to prayer to us. We never advertised it. He's just planning on getting married. He's got a family. He's got a house. He's got a good job. But the drink took it all away from him. Now he has no house. He has no job again. Amen. He has no family again except us. And of course, we don't mean much because we're all not on the same level. But listen to me. It took everything. He just took a trip to the far country. It was just to that glass of liquor. To that booze, to that tobacco. I don't know if he's using drugs or not, but I wouldn't doubt it. But his trip took everything that he's had. Now he has nothing. 50-some years of age. Amen. Had a head on him. And now you'd wonder if he's even got that. Amen. But lost everything. One more night with another man's wife was what one of mine said. But only to find out that the next day that man would trail him and follow him from his work to his house was just a matter of just a couple of miles. That man would watch him. Amen. No doubt as he no doubt kissed that woman there on the job site, heading to his house to get lunch, and that man would sit there as he pulled into his driveway and waited till he got out of his car. And when he got out of his car, he mowed him down. He shot him down and left him lay in the yard. Amen. Now's out into eternity. Just one more night. Just one more trip to the far country. Just one more pleasure of sin. Oh, come on here now. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm telling you, it ain't worth it. I say stay home. I say stay where Father's house is. I say stay where the glory and the presence of God is. Can you say amen? One more. Just one more night with that man's wife. Ain't worth it. Some said they knew. Some said they had heard. But it was all a shock. When he wears cave, he's laying face down in the yard because of a far country. Come on, church. These are not fairy tales. There's so many more I could probably go on and talk to you about as a man there that was so engulfed in lust in our family to where that he takes his own life because of suicide. Amen. When he just loses complete control, Sister Robin. Amen. And he fights for the keys of the car. And he finally takes those keys to that car. And down the road it goes. Amen. Only to use it as a lethal weapon to turn around not far from the house. Amen. And he flips that car and rolls that car time and time and time again. Amen. Because of a trip way down to the far country. Amen. Just one more. Just one more. How far do you have to go? How far do you have to get away from this? How far do you have to get way out? Amen. Before you're out there and you're wasting it away. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I want to tell you enough. I want to wrap it up like this. Amen. That ain't enough time. Amen. But when you're down there, what if you're too far to hear from God anymore? What if you're too far, amen, to hear the preaching anymore? What if you're too far, amen, from the Holy Ghost? Oh, glory to God. That's going to deal with you anymore. More, can you say, man? Oh, yes. You say, but Brother Bobby, he got back home. Not everybody does. He came to himself, Brother Bobby. Not everybody does. Too far from the truth. Too far from the real friends and the people who really care about you. When you go into that far country, his mom and daddy cared for him. Down there, they didn't care. Told you again about David, my cousin, and how no money, no beer, and there ain't no friends. And they dump him alongside the road. Why can't people see when you're in the house of God, you're with people that really care? If they're Christians at all, but they're too far, they're in that far country now. But what if you're too far from your real friends? What if you're too far from those that really care? What if you're too far to even get back? I don't know what all he went through to get home, but whatever he did, he begged for. Whatever he did, sounds like to me when he got home, listen here, amen. His father saw him, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. Don't sound like he had a bad home life to me. Amen. But the father said to his servants, he skinnied up here. Amen. But go get the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring upon his hand. Put shoes on his feet. And kill that fatted calf. And let us eat. I can tell he's hungry. Listen to me this morning. Maybe it ain't, but it's what I wrestled with continually. This trip, your trip to the far country, doesn't mean across the state, doesn't mean on the other side of the world. It could be just right down the street. Well, you know good and well you're asking for trouble. Could be right across town. Could be right over to the neighbors. Come on now. But a trip to the far country. I had one fella. I don't know if I've ever told this or not, but I had, of course, y'all know our television. Don't believe him. Don't agree with him. But this fella had got so cold that he literally, Sister Clark, took a window out of his house, built a box outside of his house, and set that television in that box and his chair on the in the house, looking into that box. When somebody would confront him, or I'd get up and preach and go to preaching hard, I don't have television in my house. I don't have a television in my house, no, but he had it hanging on the outside of the house. I wonder what people are going to do when they stand before God. I mean, do they honestly feel like they're gonna pull that over on God? And say, God, it wasn't in my house. And God said, I seen everything that you did, watched everything, and heard everything that, oh, come on here now. Watched every movement that you made as you, come on here. I don't think he's quite that dumb, folks. When he finally prayed through, of course, you know, when you go visit him, you know, you don't, Sister Clark, when I come to your, I don't go through your closets and I don't go through your bifold. You know, and I, you know, you see the little bifold doors, you just think another little cabinet or something, you know. I don't go over and just open it up. But you see, when people pray through, they'll quit the foolishness. amen, to the far country. His far country was right in his house. Amen. He was taking a journey. Amen. Every time he threw back the louvers. Amen. Every moment that he sat in, and every hour. Amen. Half hour, 15 minutes, whatever. That he sat in front of that ungodly thing. His trip was to the far country. And it was robbing him. It was taken. Come on here now. Praise God, listen to me. But I wonder what he would do. I wonder what some's going to do. Amen. When they want to hear from God. And there's nothing but complete silence. Amen. And God's no more talking to them. God's no longer speaking to them. Amen. They don't hear the preaching. Oh, they may listen, but they ain't not hearing it. Can you say amen? You may not get back. But there may come. I got to quit. Too far to bring all back that you possessed. What are you saying, Brother Bobby? You may get back, but what about your children? What about your precious possessions? You'd be surprised how many have wasted and threw away. Beth was working up there in the bank at that time. I know Crystal and them did it one time too. But you could always tell when people were getting right down, they'd go to bringing in silver. Beth said, it was unreal, Daddy. He said, you could tell when people were really getting hard up. She said they'd bring jars of coins. And then they'd have maybe another jar. And she said, I wouldn't know it until I put it in the machine. And then she said, you could always hear the clinging of the silver and the ringing of the silver. She said, you could tell when silver was mixed in. But you see, that's possessions that I don't know. I know it's, you know, I keep getting calls every now and then from various places saying gold and silver is at its height. And, you know, and things like this. I don't know why they're calling me. But anyway, you go to thinking, you know, these price. You know, wanted. You know, you see all these signs. Wanted. Gold. Any gold jewelry. Gold. I guess even, I heard somebody talking not long ago, a little while back, said, man, if you just take them gold fillings out, you can, you know, all kind of possessions. You can tell, Beth said, you could always tell, Daddy, they were getting ready to do something. You could always tell that they were getting ready to go out, sometimes a night on the town. Things that they had collected over the years. And they were getting ready to, and they were cashing it. Well, they may get back, but they'll never have that anymore. They throwed it away. I'm gonna close. Come to the piano if you would. Sister Crystal, come and help us if you would this morning. Too far to bring it all back. Parents may pray through, but your children may never pray through. After you've taken, gone so far to that far country. I thought it just a couple, and these are just a couple. I really am. I'm going to try to wind down. I thought of Cain who did nothing more than took the life of his own brother. But his cry is this: my punishment is greater than I can bear. Ananias and Sapphira, amen, after selling all that they had, their possessions, while it was in their power, brought a portion. Yea, this is what we sold it for, knowing they're lying to the Holy Ghost. They lose their lives. Of course, Judas, we all know, for 30 pieces of silver, sold our Lord and Savior. Amen. Took a trip to the far country, losing his own life. And so many more. I know I've got to close. I want to ask you this morning. Just one more day. Just one more time. Just one more fling. Just one more deal. How far is too far into that far country? Somebody said, preacher, I'm not going to change. One young man, I can only talk to you about past experiences. But one young man sat there in my office, and I could see that far away look. That far away look in his eyes. Brother Sermon, there is no rejoicing. I want to break that spell if I can. I want to change that outlook if I can. And I begged and I pleaded and I talked to the best that I could. If God can't change him, I probably won't either. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, he said, Brother Bobby, I want you to know I will never have a television in my house. And he has one in every room right now. I said, there's no way you can stop it. You're being drawn now. You're telling me now that you're ready to take a trip into the far country. You're telling me right now that you're ready to head to the trip to the far country. How are you going to tell me, oh God? Amen. A preacher and his wife that preached right here. Amen. They tell me right now are so, amen, ungodly and trapped and ensnared in sin. Amen. A preacher called me the other day. He just heard. Amen. I just want you to understand. Amen. There's burden. I said, brother, I'm already. He said, my God, what happened to them? I said, I'll tell you what happened to them. I said, they got their eyes way out yonder in the far country. Can you say amen? That young couple there, or couple in our church, the things begin to happen, and I'm trying to work with the family, trying to keep everything, amen, where it ought to be, and they got so angry and got to, come on now, they don't fall out with me here, moms and dads, but I'm going to tell you something. When that son or daughter gets married, they're married to that man or that woman, can you say amen? It's not your time to try to run their house from your house. You're in trouble if you do. They've got to influence and got to talking. Got to talking to their daughter. Got to turning her against her husband. Come on, church. Where all of a sudden, split that home wide open. then had the gall to come to me and said, you're going to put him out of the church. I said, I ain't going to do no such thing. I said, if y'all would have stayed out of this and let me work with it, they weren't all that bad. They really weren't. It was instigated in the home. It was instigated from the mother. Amen. It really was. I ain't got time to get into it this morning, but I'm telling you, it came from their house to drive them apart. Amen. And so now, amen, he's going to drag it back in the church. And because that son-in-law is sitting over here bawling his eyes out because he wants his wife back, and they're sitting over here with their daughter, amen, making light of him praying and making light of him doing his best. Oh, come on here, church. You can believe it. Amen, I want to stay out. I don't get in Eric and Shauna's business. That's none of my business. They need some advice, they'll come to me. And I'll deal with it, not in a way as to shaping them, but only scripturally. But anyway. Of course, they left the church. They did the family. Because he was the one. I can't believe you're going to let all this tithe walk out of this church. I said, brother, we were doing it without you before you come, and we'll do without it again, I guess, when you leave. I ain't trying to be ugly, but I ain't going to be bought with $100 bills. I've never been that way. When that man stood up here at the camp meeting, I was preaching up here in Pennsylvania, walked over to me, amen, and amen, greased my palm every night with a $100 bill. Finally, the last night when he walked over and put $100, then I found out when he told me what I should try to preach to help his family. I looked at him and I said, brother, I said, ain't no way in the world, amen, I can preach that kind of a doctrine. Amen, you can keep your $100 and, you know, whatever. I'm just telling you like it is. Amen, I want to stand according to the word of God. I want to stand before God with a clean hands. I don't want nobody's blood dripping off of my hands. Can you say amen? Walked out. Some of my prime there in the church. She's wild, the wife. Wild. Last time I heard, she was in the night dives in her fishnet tops. Nothing more. Dancing. Come on, church. Used to be in the house of God. But you see, there's no way people can tell me I'll go this far and I'll quit. I've seen too many. Too many of them. Too many of them that have fallen into that trap. Hallelujah.
You listen to me this morning. I don't know why, but I do know why. God has dealt with me. And you'll either give heed to it this morning, or you'll cast it aside and say, he don't know it. Have you gone too far now? In your mind, have you already taken that trip and you're too far? What will it take for individuals to recognize and understand? You've planned it. You've called the shots so far. But what if you go too far into that far country? What if you let one service more go by?
One Holy Ghost dealing. One more. Go by. That's to say, I'm not listening. You don't know what he's talking about. That's you know, and I guess, and please understand, I don't claim to know everything, but I know some things. But let me ask you this morning, wouldn't you think that this prodigal son, after coming all the way back home, no doubt woke up many a day or many a night and said, if I'd have only stayed home, if I'd have only forgot about the old friends, if I'd have forgot about the lifestyle that I read about.